Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the bread of life." Throughout the history of the church, this statement of Jesus has been one of the most difficult, one of the most troubling, one of the most amazing, one of the most comforting, one of the most upsetting, one of the most uplifting, one of the most perplexing sayings of Jesus, made only worse by what follows just a few verses later, where he says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Now, right there, the Jews said, "Wait a minute now." In the midst of this entire perilation from Jesus, we have them saying, "Isn't this Joseph's son, the carpenter's son? Don't we know who he is? He's lived here in Nazareth almost his entire life. We know who this is. How can he say to us that he is the living bread that came down out of heaven?" Their question echoes questions that have gone down through the history of the church. And from day one, there's been much question and debate over this issue. It's ironic that many who love a literal reading of the Bible, many who will read their Bibles literally and say that almost everywhere else you must take it absolutely literally, here say it's got to be metaphor, it's got to be symbolism, it's got to be figurative, it can't be taken literally. And likewise, those who elsewhere in Scripture say that everything should be taken metaphorically and symbolically and figuratively, here, however, say you gotta take it literally, word for word for word, as written in the Scripture. It's ironic that both sides flip their position when it comes to this particular statement of Jesus. I mean, I saw a bumper sticker on somebody's truck one day that says, "Jesus said it, I believe it, and that settles it." Well, amen, brother. Well, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life that comes down out of heaven. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Blah. That cannibalism stuff. Blah. Blah. No, thank you. So how do we understand this? How do we deal with this? It's some difficult stuff. It's the whole issue of communion, the doctrines that surround the sacrament of Holy Communion. How do we understand its function in the life of the church? How does it function for us? How does it function for you? What is this? Is this just a game that we play? Is it an empty ritual that we go about doing? Or is something really happening here? Do we believe that this is an important event in the life of the church and that we should come to the table of the Lord and be present here so that Christ can be present to us? Or is this just a game that we're playing? Now, in the history of the church, there are two basic approaches to understanding what's going on in Holy Communion. One of those approaches is called memorialism. And memorialism teaches that Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we're supposed to remember what Jesus said, remember what Jesus did, remember who Jesus was, remember how Jesus taught us, remember how Jesus healed the sick and fed the hungry, remember the wonderful things that Jesus did for us in taking upon himself our sins and dying on the cross for us, and remember the glorious resurrection on Easter morning, and remember all these things up here, and then out of obedience to what Jesus says, eating and drinking from the table. This is memorialism. It seats the entire activity as an intellectual exercise up in the brain and as an act of obedience. Because Jesus said to do it, we will do it. But really and truly, it's just an external symbol. It's just a physical symbol, a living metaphor for how we are called to be together, and we're called to enjoy each other's presence, and through each other we're called to enjoy the love and presence of God. There was a man, a teacher in the history of the church named Zwingli, and he taught that communion was about the gathering of the people together. And when they gathered together, the grace of God descended upon them directly. And that is why we gather together. The table could have pizza and beer on it, and it would still not matter in this way of thinking. What matters is the gathering of the people together in worship of Christ. Now, this memorialism concept, as popular as it sometimes is in certain parts of the United States, is actually a fairly recent invention. It started about 400 or 500 years ago, actually, in terms of teaching within churches. And it's a fairly minority position also in the church, because only a small portion of Protestants actually believe that. The majority position is called real presence theology. And it says that what Jesus said is true. This is my body. This is my blood. It says that what Jesus promises here in John chapter 6 is true. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them, and I will raise them up on the last day. It says that a little further on in our reading. It says, this is the bread that came down from heaven. Have you ever wondered why it reads slightly strangely? This is the bread? It's like he's pointing to himself when he's saying this to them, which is why it's so shocking to them, and says, this is the bread. Or you could even slightly translate it, I am the bread, because he said it elsewhere. I am the bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Well, but that still, it doesn't answer the question, how can we understand it in that way? How can we accept Jesus' words here? Isn't this just metaphor? Isn't this just symbolism? Isn't this just myth? What is this talking about? And the real presence position says that when you come and when you eat and when you drink, Jesus is truly present to you, for you, with you, and within you. Now, the Lutherans have a way of talking about it. The Roman Catholics have a way of talking about it. And the Anglicans have a way of talking about it. The Anglican way is essentially the Methodist way, which is to say, Jesus is here and we don't know how. I mean, the Roman Catholic Church has the doctrine of transubstantiation. What a big word. And what it means is that the substance of the bread and the wine, while it still smells, looks, and tastes like bread and wine, nevertheless, its substance has been transformed into the body and the blood of Jesus. Lutheran position is called consubstantiation, in which with the substance of bread and wine comes the body and blood of Jesus. Methodists and Anglicans don't define it. We simply say, when you come and when you eat and when you drink, Jesus' real presence is here. And unlike the Zwinglian position, which says that it falls directly upon the people, means of grace theology, which is what I'm talking about, says that it falls through. Grace comes to us through instruments. Instruments like reading scripture, singing hymns, choir, singing hymns or wonderful music. Through fellowship together, like in all of these meals we're going to have. Through study together in our Sunday school classes and Bible studies. in service together, reaching out to the poor and the hungry and the homeless and the naked and giving them truly what they need. Food and clothing and places to live. It is through prayer. That's another instrument through which God's grace comes to us. And through the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion. God's grace comes to us through the act, through the symbol, through the elements, as we act in faith, with our faith focused on Christ. So you have these two different positions, memorialism and real presence theology. And it is my contention that in truth, they both should, in some sense, go together and undergird each other. We're called to truly bring to the present time the events of Christ on the cross. We're called to bridge the gap between us and God by the power of the Holy Spirit, bridge the gap through Christ Jesus, bridge the gap of time and space, and receive from the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when He died for us, receive the grace offered there. It's not just a mental activity, it's a mental and heart or spiritual activity. And though we cannot explain how Jesus is really present with our minds, we can experience that real presence with our hearts, our souls, our spirits. We have Scripture. I mean, you've heard of the Wesleyan quadrilateral, haven't you? It's the way in which Methodist and John Wesley kind of started this process. He actually adopted it from other theologians from the Reformation period. It's the way in which we interpret Scripture. Scripture is primary. Church tradition is supplemental and interpretive of Scripture. Experience helps us to interpret Scripture and tradition. And reason helps us to interpret Scripture and tradition and our experience. The Wesleyan quadrilateral is a way of approaching and interpreting theology for everyday living. And in the terms of the Wesleyan quadrilateral, we have Scripture, which affirms Jesus' presence in communion, because Jesus said it. We have tradition. For most of the history of the church, the concept of real presence has been affirmed by the church in one way or another. Christian experience affirms the truth of it. It affirms the truth of it every time I receive communion, that Jesus is really here. I cannot explain it, but I know it is true. The challenge comes with reason, the ability of the human mind to comprehend and encompass that of the divine, the totality of the divine. So it simply becomes an act of faith. Trusting in Scripture, trusting in tradition, trusting in experience, and stepping forth in faith, even where reason fails us. So Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Jesus said, the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh, my body, my presence, my hope, my peace, my spirit, my words, my deeds, my grace. As you come to the table of the Lord today, as you come and eat and drink of this mysterious meal, this holy mystery, in which we are fed by the real presence of Jesus. As you come to the table of the Lord, be open to how Jesus is going to mysteriously feed you, nourish you, strengthen you, uphold you, empower you for service and for witness. Be open to the mysteries of God's grace in your life, to the ways in which God has spoken to you through family and friends, through worship and prayer and service. Be open to the many means of grace that surround you, the many opportunities to serve, the many opportunities to pray and study. Be open to the gifts of God's grace and be ready to receive Jesus anew. The Jews said that our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. God gave them manna, gift, miraculous bread from heaven. Now, what are you going to do? And Jesus said, your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. This was a gift of God's blessing and grace, a gift that was given for the day, and yet they still died. This new bread, this heavenly bread, this true bread that I'm giving you, he says to them, is me. And when you eat and drink of me, when you partake of my love and my presence and my joy and my peace, when you partake by faith of me, unlike the manna in the wilderness, when you partake of me, you will live forever. You will have eternal life. Come and receive anew and afresh eternal life today from the bread of heaven, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
In your presence, Lord, let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of
been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2015 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.